Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hi, I'm Susie McIntyre.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
And you're watching Cowboy Church, where there's lots of singing and there's preaching and lots of testimonies. Just a good time.
You sound like you're excited. It sounds like the same old thing to me.
Well, you know, God is new every morning. What am I going to say?
Well, that's the thing about it. Mm-hmm. That's what people say. It's the same thing every week. You sing, you preach, and you pray for people, and we do.
Yeah. But, you know, we serve a God who is consistently the same, and yet He's different.
That's the key deal.
Oh, man, He knows everything. He's ever present. He's powerful, all powerful. He is the God that we all need to serve because He loves us so much. And we're glad that you're in your seat ready to watch Cowboy Church.
And it sounds like Susie's been sneaking into the Word of God a little bit. Maybe let's all sneak into Cowboy Church. We'll have a little singing. We'll have a little preaching. Mm-hmm. And we'll have a great time, I promise.
Yes.
Because God's here. And if you will come with an open heart, God will fill the open heart today. I believe it.
Yes, I do too. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
You know, in my life, I've had to be someone's granddaughter, someone's daughter, and now someone's sister, and now someone's wife. I'm becoming to be His.
Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever-wandering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what You've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who You are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still You hear me when I'm calling. Lord, You catch me when I'm falling, and You've told me who I am. I am Yours. I am Yours. That the eyes that see my sin would look on me with love and watch me rise again. Who am I that the voice that calmed the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me? Not because of who I am, but because of what You've done. It's not because of what I've done, but because of who You are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still You hear me when I'm calling. Lord, You catch me when I'm falling, and You've told me who I am. I am Yours. but because of what you've done. It's not because of what I've done, but because of who you are.
This is a song that I adapted to our family, and it kind of tells a little bit of a history of our family.
When Reba got a part in the Christmas play, though she only had one song to sing, Mama spent all day and called the family together. Everybody knew we couldn't pay our bills. We never missed a meal. We called the family together. We ate a lot of mountain oysters.
Family's there to cheer us on or catch us when we fall. They may not have all the answers, but they'll be there when you call. Like when Allison Roberts' dog named Jack ate his way through the wedding cake. We had an all-night bake with all the family together. And when Allison's baby fought for her life until we knew she'd be all right, we prayed all night and called the family together. 'Cause family's there to cheer us on or catch us when we fall. They may not have all the answers, but they'll be there when you call. Some have gone and some remain, but by and by we'll meet again. Some sweet day, all the family together. And when the wheels of time are standing still and the Father's house is finally built, the good Lord will call his family together. Oh, the good Lord will call his family together.
Digger, a Methodist, a Baptist, a Presbyterian, or what, we're all going to be together. Amen?
Thank you, Lord, that we can see you in all your glory here in Steamboat Springs, Colorado. Thank you, Jesus.
Johnny's mom also had to play daddy, a challenge so many have in life. From packing lunch and combing hair, brushing teeth and bedtime prayers, she only had time for one man in her life. Well, she dressed him for church Christmas morning, a place they hadn't been since he was two. And he ran out of Sunday school talking about the golden rule and said, Mom, I think I found someone for you. He's good with kids, he plays in dirt, bears and he climbs trees, and who could ask for more? He's just what we've been praying for. He said there's more, Mama talked to my teacher. He's got a good job working for his dad. He doesn't drink, he doesn't swear, he doesn't hit, so don't be scared that things will turn out like they always have. He's good with kids, he plays in dirt, and he helps people when they hurt. He don't throw stones, he likes to. And he climbs trees, and who could ask for more? He's just what we've been praying for. On every word he says, you can believe. And whatever we do, he'll never leave. He's good but kids. Plays in dirt, and he helps people when we eat. He don't throw stones, he likes to fish, and he climbs trees, and who could ask for more? He's just what we've been praying for.
He can be the wife, and he's certainly our very best friend. Amen. Amen.
Jesus was forever turning our preconceived notions, or the world's preconceived notions, on their ears. The Pharisees had notions that, and then when Jesus came in and broke the notions, set them on their ear, they just couldn't handle it. See, they had notions about the Sabbath. They said him and his disciples picked grain on the Sabbath to eat for the day, and he healed the man that had been sitting near the pool for years. He healed him on the Sabbath. They said, you can't do that on the Sabbath. And their perspective was so narrow, because they hated Jesus. They hated Jesus, and their perspective got to the point where it didn't matter what good Jesus did, they hated him. You know, I hate to be political a little bit, but sometimes people feel that way about our president. They're upset about who he is and forget the good that he might be doing. Guys, be careful of that. Your perspective, I'm not trying to tell you to be a Republican or a Democrat. I'm trying to tell you to be godly. But when any man does anything that brings honor and glory to God, whether you like him or not, you should concede that he's doing that, and that's the right thing. If he does something wrong, you don't have to concede anything. If you feel like it's really wrong, that's okay, but have scripture. But if you just don't like him because you don't like his personality, that's not a very good perspective. Up your perspective a little bit. It's okay to do that. I'm not saying that you have to worship anybody except Jesus. But I am saying when people do the things that God would do had he been the president, you need to at least consider what is going on there. And I don't expect him to do everything perfect. But I will say, man, some of the things he's done has sure helped Christianity to go ahead and to grow. And I appreciate him doing that for us. I will tell you personally, in my life, when I was pastoring the church here, there were times that I would get letters of things that I could say and things that I shouldn't say and better not say. I would get those letters all the time. And as soon as he became president, they stopped that kind of stuff. And I appreciate that. That's one thing I can tell you I like about it. So you can have your own opinion. There's nothing wrong with that. Have your opinion. It's good. But I want you, when you're looking at your opinion about anything, anybody, if you'll compare it to the Word of God, don't lose your spice. Go ahead and have an opinion. I hope you have a good opinion. I hope you have a strong opinion. And I hope you have it backed by the Word of God. But use your opinion for good, for testimony for God. And here's the key thing. Don't be God, or don't be the hero in your own story. Let God be the hero. Then, and that's a frame of reference. When you do that, then things begin to happen in your life. Let's look at what perspective does. When we see life from God's perspective, it allows us to move, live, and understand life from an overcomer's point of view. Did you hear that? It lets us, allows us to move, live, and understand life from an overcomer's point of view. Tapping into God's perspective allows vision. It allows wisdom. It allows culture. It allows life. It allows healing to manifest itself in our lives, to where we begin to understand how we can conduct our lives. Our perspective is everything, guys. Our viewpoint, when it aligns up with God's viewpoint, is a wonderful thing. And when it doesn't, if we'll just be flexible enough, if we'll just be malleable enough where God can mold us and work with us and see things as right and wrong according to the Word of God, and be able to live and breathe and have our being in Christ, then our perspective of life works a lot better, a whole lot better. I had a friend, or still have a friend, that when I was roping calves, him and I buddied to those building rodeos. He'd been a world's champion, and we were going to the buildings together. We got to buddy, and it was a privilege of mine to be able to rope with him. And in the middle, right after San Antonio, I broke out to win a check at San Antonio, and he told me, he says, "Russ, you need to fix a little something." And I said, "What is it?" And he goes, "It'll take a while to fix, but if you come to my house and spend 5 days at my house," and he had a roping school, he said, "come to my roping school, we'll work on it while we're doing a roping school. If you'll do that, we can fix that." And my perspective of what I understood about how my loop should work was keeping me from being a good next level calf roper. And in a week, he arranged my swing so that my rope would stay open better. My loop would stay open. And you have to have the loop open in order to catch calf. But I was catching calves in part of my loop or the other part. But in the middle, there was almost an eight going in it. It was kind of a crooked loop instead of a big open loop. And he showed me how to do that. And we worked on it for 3 or 4 days. And I went from April until the 1st of September at Walla Walla, Washington. I rodeoed the whole summer long without missing another calf because my perspective on how that loop was supposed to fit was an incorrect perspective. But when I changed my perspective on how it was supposed to work to where it was better, what it did, it allowed me to be more effective. It allowed me to be more effective. And when you're more effective, life is better. Life is better. So in our perspective, what I want you to do is not take my perspective of it, but take the Word of God and try to understand what the Word of God is saying and apply it to your life so that your life can be more effective in being a Christian and telling people about Jesus and being an influence. And your perspective will make you a better person. If. Here's the big if. If it's aligned up with how God wants you to think. God wants you to think a certain way, but He's not making you do that. He's allowing you to do that. He gives you opportunity to learn, and He enjoys the process of us learning how to tap into His perspective. It's a pretty cool thing. He's a pretty good coach. He wants you to be on His team. Let's get a hold of it. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank You today. Lord, help us to understand what Your perspective of life is, of how it works and how it puts together. And Lord, how we need to live and move and breathe and have our being in You. And I pray today, if there's anybody who's had a perspective that is negative and is difficult and just wrong, Lord, I pray that they'd begin to see light, and that light would bring Your perspective into view. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, today, if you need to commit your life to Christ, greatest thing you can do for your perspective is just to commit your life to Christ. It's going to be really hard for God to talk to you without you being plugged into Him. You know, your phone, it needs the internet in order for it to be effective. And for you to connect with God, you need the plan of salvation. You need Jesus to make the connection between you and God. And the Holy Spirit right now is working on you so that you can plug in. You can plug your spirit in to the Spirit of God, and that God's wisdom can begin to work through you. And it can't happen until you commit your life to Christ. The Bible says it takes a couple things. Number one, We say this all the time. You confess your sins, that you're a sinner. That's we humble ourselves, that I'm not God. God's God. I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. And you ask Him to forgive you, and you ask Him to let Jesus live inside of you, in your heart, so that you can connect with God through the connection of God's redemptive power that He did on the cross. And the Bible says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the other thing He says, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. So I'm going to help you with the confession. I'm going to pray the prayer with you. All you have to add is you believe it in your heart. Believe it in your heart, way down deep, that God will do what He said He would do. It's just to believe. So we're going to pray that prayer. Repeat after me as we pray this prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for sending Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. Please forgive me. Come into my life. I want to be a Christian. I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I pray in Jesus' name, amen.